What Does It Mean to Be Baptist? Number 16. A Study of the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. In today's study, Pastor Harris covers Article 14 concerning cooperation. This lecture was presented by Pastor Rob Harris at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, March the 1st, 2006. You're listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies podcast. Let's listen now to Pastor Harris.
Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to be in your presence. We pray that you would guide and direct our minds and our hearts, that you would grant us insight and understanding, that you would grant to us the courage and boldness to believe and live the truth. Father, as you speak, may we listen. And then may we apply and live out the truth. Father, bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Webster defines the word cooperative as marked by a willingness and ability to work with others. In that sense, we must be willing to acknowledge that the phrase cooperative Baptist is somewhat an oxymoron. A willingness and an ability to work with others. Sometimes we're willing and just not able. At other times, we're not even willing. It can be difficult. We don't play well with others. That's kind of been our history and our heritage. But at the same time, cooperation has always been a part of Baptist life. Yes, we can be hard-headed and we can be stubborn. And yes, it seems that our favorite method of starting churches is the church split. But on another level, we have always sought and understood the need to work together to accomplish greater things than we could ever accomplish alone. It is one of the hallmarks of Baptist life. Baptist associations, the grouping together of local congregations in a geographical area for the common good, date back to 1650 in England. It was part of Baptist life in the colonies and is at the heart of Baptist work today. Most of us who've been a part of the Southern Baptist Convention for any length of time, when we hear the word cooperative, we think immediately of the cooperative program. That's the thing that comes to the forefront. If we may not know what it is, we may not be able to define it, we might not be sure exactly how it works, but we've heard the term. And one of the things that we're having to deal with now in Southern Baptist life is a cooperative program has lost its emphasis, and there are large numbers of our folks who really don't know what it's all about, and they're not sure how it works or why it works or why it should matter. So one of the things that's happening on the convention-wide level is a re-emphasis of the cooperative program and how we can better tell the story. It is going back more to the state conventions and their responsibility to promote it among the churches. And then as the state convention works with associations and local churches, get a better understanding of that program, which developed in 1925 as a means of financing the work of Southern Baptists together. The idea of cooperation is rooted in Scripture. One of the passages that comes to my mind is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll remember Paul is trying to talk about the nature of the church, and he describes the church as a body. And the body needs all parts of the body working together in order for the body to accomplish a task. And Paul goes on in that passage to say, all the parts of the body are equally important. You can't say, well, I'm of no use to the body because I'm not an eye. If the whole body were made up of eyes, where would the hearing be? Well, we can't all be ears. If we were all ears, where would the seeing be? So it's not a matter that we all want to be the same thing. We're all different, and we all have, in our differences and our different giftings, something to add to the body. And when the body is all functioning together, then we have a healthy body, and a healthy body is able to accomplish the work given to it. That's true on a church level. In our church, everybody who God brings to us and becomes part of our church family, every one of them who has turned from their sin and trusted in Christ is gifted. Whether you think of yourself as gifted or not, God the Holy Spirit has gifted you and placed you here for a purpose. And finding out what that gifting is and where you're to function is part of your responsibility and our responsibility as a church together. So you find that place where you can serve and fit in. Then moving beyond the local church, that's true in a given area. That's true in the association. It's true in the state level. It's true on the national convention level. We all have roles to play. We all have things to do. Just like every one of us are different and unique, and yet called together by the same Lord and the same gifting and the same Spirit and the same life, so all churches are different. We look around and there are times when we say, well, we already have more churches than we need. And we don't need any more churches in our area. But the fact is, all churches are different, and they take on personalities. And we can reach some folks that Red Fork can't, and Red Fork reaches some people we can't. And we all need each other, and we all cooperate together for the good of the gospel. And that's part of Baptists cooperating together or working together. Various parts of the body are dependent upon each other, so that together we accomplish far more than we could ever do on our own. The three levels or kinds of cooperation within Southern Baptist life. And I think it's better to use the word kinds of cooperation rather than level, because the word level implies some kind of connection and some kind of authority. When we talk about, well, it's on this level, but then there's another level, we tend to think of a higher level. And then there's a level above that, and we get a picture or an idea that one is above another or so forth. That's not the way cooperation is understood in Southern Baptist life. Southern Baptists emphasize from the Scripture that each local body, each church, is autonomous, meaning self-governing. But that is often misunderstood as well. When we say that we believe that Trinity Baptist Church is an autonomous church, that does not mean we believe we do whatever we want to do and nobody is over us. Because if we believe the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus is over us, and we are not free to do whatever we want to do. We are free to seek His leadership and come to consensus together and do what we believe God leads us to do, but not autonomous being a law unto ourselves. If each local church is autonomous, then we don't allow for an organization over and above us that give direction and guidance to us in the sense that they have a say over us. Let's talk about these different levels of cooperation or kinds of cooperation. The first kind is association. That is the nearest to the local church. An association of churches is usually churches in a given geographical region. Baptist associations go as far back as 1650 in England, where the churches joined together for survival, for a united voice for the truth of Scripture. Don't forget that in 1650, in Baptist life, you were known as a dissenter. You dissented from the official church, and it was a dangerous thing to do. And so these local congregations joined together for mutual encouragement and support. So the first rationale for Baptist churches joining together in a unified effort was for the purpose of encouragement and strength, for support from one another. 1650. In England, the first Baptist association in the colonies was the Philadelphia Baptist Association, 1707. The first in the South was at Charleston, South Carolina in 1751. These associations were voluntary, and they had no authority over any local congregation. In fact, in theory, if not always in practice, we say the association exists in order to serve the churches. Not the churches, to serve the association. Now, we, Trinity Baptist Church, belong to the Tulsa Metro Association of Baptist Churches. Used to be known Tulsa Metro Baptist Association, but we changed the name because Southern Baptists like to change the names now. And Sunday school is Family Bible Study, or the Bible Study Teaching Hour, but everybody still calls it Sunday school. Baptist Collegiate Ministry. Everybody still calls it BSU. Even the Baptist Collegiate Ministry directors say BSU. So, change names, same entity. Churches across basically Tulsa County. There are some who are outside of Tulsa County, but it's basically this geographical area, some 60 or 100, between 152 and 160, depending on what happened today in any given church. Churches and missions are part of the Tulsa Metro Association of Baptist Churches, coming together voluntarily to cooperate together as like-minded churches to support, to encourage, and to carry out ministry together. Traditionally, associations are from a given geographical area. That is beginning to change. There are some new things happening across the convention, and that is some associations are now forming out of other issues or concerns. There are associations that are now forming not on the basis of where they're located, but on the basis of what is their doctrinal statement and what are they in agreement on. This is a growing thing across our convention. They may or may not be in the same geographical area. I know of one association, the Spurgeon Baptist Association. It's a Southern Baptist group of churches that have member churches in Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, and maybe Illinois by now. These are churches that say, look, we are in agreement theologically. We have the same mindset about what churches ought to look like. So let's form an association between ourselves, hold conferences where we'll listen to preaching and we'll come together and dream about where we could plant a new work that would be a church in keeping with us theologically and so forth. They're still cooperating with their other association, all of them that I know of, and in connection with their state convention and the Southern Baptist Convention. But this is a new wrinkle. And part of it is saying, look, we no longer have to be in the same geographical region because of communications and travel. We're no longer limited that we need to be able to just get there quickly or easily through the internet and other means we can communicate and accomplish things together. So that is a growing thing that is going back to what was the original purpose. We said associations began to form in England for the purpose of mutual support and encouragement. And so associations are beginning to form more along those lines than simply geographical. Now, Tulsa Metro Association of Baptist Churches exists one day out of the year. And that's the day of the annual meeting. Officially, that's the day it exists. In between times, there's an executive board made up of pastors and staff from all of the member churches, and an elected official from, or an elected member from each church is allowed. And that board meets. Now our meeting is quarterly rather than monthly. And the decisions are made, votes are taken, issues are handled on those quarterly business meetings. And direction is given to Dr. Cruz and Bill Raines and others at the associational office to carry on the business of the association until the association meets again at the next annual meeting. But officially, it exists that one day when we call it into session, and it disbands at the end of that, and a group of people are to carry on its business until it comes together again. The next kind of cooperation is on the state convention level. The first state convention was formed in 1821. It was again in South Carolina. An association began colleges, children's homes, and other things, and pretty soon they found out they couldn't handle the financial demands. So as a natural flow of events, associations and churches began to see the need to join forces, and so before long, state conventions began to come into existence. But here's the important part to understand. Churches make up an association. What makes up the state convention? churches. The state convention is not made up of associations. It's made up of those local churches that choose to be a part of the convention work. And they're not connected. Meaning, we happen to be members of both our association here in the Tulsa metro area and the state convention, but that's not required. We could be a member of one without being a member of the other. But it's on a larger scale, involved in more things. So as a state convention, we operate Oklahoma Baptist University that is fully owned by our convention. The Baptist Retirement Villages, Baptist Home for Children, and numerous other ministries that are operated on the state convention level. But it is made up of local churches who voluntarily cooperate together for the work of the state convention, the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. The Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma this fall at our annual meeting will celebrate its 100th anniversary. In 1906, the Baptist Convention of Indian Territory and the Baptist Convention of Oklahoma Territory came together a year before statehood and formed the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, making one convention out of the two that had existed separately. When they came into existence, it was affiliated with both the Northern Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Convention. Because this was just Baptist folks, so they weren't all part of the same group. And they stayed that way until 1914, when they voted to be just singly aligned with the Southern Baptist Convention. Because by that time, enough folks from the South had moved in that they said, we don't want to be a Yankee convention. So they joined with the South. I just read Bob Ross's book on the 100th anniversary of the convention. It's an interesting read to look at the history of our convention and what happened and some of the stories of the founding of OBU and what happened in the early years and the struggles there, as well as the history of the convention. But again, it's a kind of association. How often does the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma exist? 2 days out of the year. Used to be four, then they cut the meeting to three, then it was to 2.5, now it's down to 2 days. But it officially exists for the 2 days that we meet. In between, it is governed by a board of directors, that there are 64 directors, plus the elected officers of the convention, the president, first, second, vice president, and the recording secretary, who carry out the convention's business in between time. We have an executive director, we have that whole office in Oklahoma City, but they do what they are directed to do by the board of directors. It is a level or kind of cooperation. The third kind is the National Convention. 1845, the Southern Baptist Convention was formed for the purpose of eliciting, combining, and directing the energies of the Baptist denomination. How often does it exist? Once a year. In between time, it's governed by an executive committee made up of members from churches across the convention, same principle, who are members of the Southern Baptist Convention, churches, who decide to cooperate together. So there are different kinds of cooperation. And you can be a member of all three, you can be a member of one, you can be a member of two, you can be a member of any of the combinations thereof. Everyone is voluntary, and there is no authority in any of them. Nobody from Tulsa Metro Association of Baptist Churches can walk in here and say, you aren't doing this right, so you must change this or we'll close you down. Can't do that. The only authority they have is authority we grant to them, we ask their input on something. The only other tool they have is if they disagree with us and we send messengers to the annual meeting, they can say, we refuse to recognize you as a cooperating church. That's it. Doesn't change anything we do. Unless we come back and say, well, we want to be able to be recognized, so what do we have to do in order to be recognized? But unless we say that, makes no difference what they say or what they allow or don't allow. All of it is voluntary, and there is no authority connected with it. I wanted to give that background before we look at the statement. Look at the statement on cooperation. It's Article 14 from the Baptist Faith and Message. Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objectives of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations. When the end is attained, when the end to be attained is itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word, as revealed in the New Testament. Simple, straightforward statement about what we mean when we talk about cooperation. Let me point just a couple of things out to you. The focus for me is that line that says Christ's people should cooperate, organizing such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation, and here's the key, for the great objects of the kingdom of God. I think that's essential for understanding what we as Baptists, in particular, what we as Oklahoma Baptists, Southern Baptists, and as Tulsa Metro Baptists believe. We cooperate on the greater objects of the kingdom of God. Missions, evangelism, education, acts of benevolence, those type of things that are larger than we can handle on our own, we ought to cooperate with others in that. Now, does that mean doctrine doesn't matter? No. Does this mean we ought to fully cooperate with anyone who says they're Christian, regardless of what they believe, regardless of what they teach, regardless of how they do church or anything else? We just ought to cooperate. No, that's not what I'm saying. At every associational meeting or state meeting or national meeting, we come together around a doctrinal statement that is broad enough for all of us to say, I can sign off on that. Again, the reason for the brevity of the Baptist Faith and Message is because there are a large number of churches who are cooperating together, and it needs to be broad enough that we can come together. A church has every right to spell out in greater detail at every point they choose, more specifically, what they believe. And I think that's appropriate on a local church level. I think it's dangerous on associational, state, and national convention level. Because our focus needs to be on the greater works where I can cooperate, even if I'm not toe-to-toe in full agreement and full alignment with everything someone else believes. But as long as we're unified on the great issues of the kingdom, we ought to cooperate together. What I'm saying is, I've known people through the years on the association level that I loved, respected, and would never ever join their church. But I ought to be able to cooperate with them. You understand the distinction? I may not agree with them on a fine point of doctrine, so therefore I couldn't walk in fellowship with them on a local church level. But I certainly can cooperate on a larger level. Where we're trying to do a general evangelistic campaign or we're doing some general work, I can walk with them in agreement. Because to be associated with them is not to endorse everything they say and everything they believe. We come and say, this is what we're united on. We're in agreement about these things. As we get beyond that, there may be some things I have very distinct differences with, and so I wouldn't be comfortable in their church, and they might not be comfortable where I'm serving. The issue is cooperating together for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or the churches. The national convention can't tell the state convention what to do. The state convention can't tell the association, because those are all cooperative, voluntary associations. The purpose is to elicit, combine, and direct efforts. Missional or missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Note, we also state that we believe that cooperation between various denominations provided it does not violate the conscience or compromise our loyalty to Christ or His Word as revealed. The conditions for cooperation on the level beyond the local church is that the end is a justified end. It does not involve a violation of conscience, and there is no compromise in truth. Again, I think you have to make a distinction of compliance demanded on the local church level and the compliance expected on association and convention level. There is a difference. Let me share with you my concerns about the current state of our convention in light of our doctrinal statement on cooperation. I think there is every reason to be concerned about the future of the Southern Baptist Convention on many levels. If you have read any in the Baptist Messenger or any on the internet related to the controversy around the International Mission Board and the trustees, the action taken against Wade, now the apparent withdrawal of that recommendation to have him removed, and the resultant conversation that's gone back and forth. I think what happened in that board of directors meeting is symptomatic of where we are as a convention. And I think it all comes down to this issue of cooperation. There is a growing distance between leadership within our convention, and I'm talking on the national level, growing distance between leadership and younger pastors. There is a great distrust of the leadership. There is serious question about direction. There is, in my opinion, among older leaders, a mentality that wants to dig in and have a fight. And I'm afraid what they don't understand is younger pastors won't fight, they'll just walk away. And we'll be left with a dying denomination and resources drying up and the end of our convention. That's not unthinkable. And the issue comes down to who are we willing to cooperate with and what's going to determine our level of cooperation. I have no trouble signing off on every article of the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message to say this statement speaks for me and what I believe about the issues in here. Anybody else who can say that, I ought to be able to cooperate with them. The problem to me is when we want to go beyond this and say, now let's redefine what we mean when we said this. If you didn't do that in the document, it's dangerous on a convention level to start spelling out what you mean by that. Because then we start narrowing the focus and start telling people, you're not one of us, and you're not one of us because you don't agree with us to every detail the further we get from the center. When the conservative resurgence began, the issue was among the conservatives, because I was a college student, and as a college student, you like radical things. and you like the idea of rebels. So I went to all the meetings I could. And I heard them talking. Boy, you could get fired up about, yeah, it's time to throw the bums out. Because they're not doing this, this, and this. They're not letting people who believe like we believe be on the faculty at OBU. They're not letting people believe like we believe have leadership role within the convention. They're not letting people who believe the Word of God like we believe the Word of God to speak at any of the convention meetings. So they rallied the troops and they threw the bums out. Well, guess what? 20 years later, now we're saying, if you don't agree with us, you don't get to teach. You don't agree with us, you can't serve. You don't agree with us, we won't let you speak. And we're becoming as tyrannical as those bums we threw out. Had a long conversation with a good friend of mine this week, and we were discussing whether the problem is with the leaders or the problems with the system. Because we had the same issue regardless of where they were theologically. When you're in power, what does power tend to do? Power corrupts. The truth of the matter is, folks, as I look back at what I saw when I was younger, as I look at what I see happening now, whether we're talking the local, state, or national level, it's the same as it's always been. There have always been a few movers and shakers who determined who got what and who went where. That hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is the name of the player. There is a need, I believe, for us to stop, really consider what we do believe, and if people truly embrace the Word of God and declare their allegiance to the truth of the Word and declare their confidence in and their belief in what we state as our confession of faith, then let's quit fighting about it, embrace each other, and move on for the good of the kingdom. That's the issue. The issue is cooperation. It is not compromise. It is not a matter of saying, I don't care what you believe, I just want to love Jesus and we'll serve Jesus together. The problem is the current fight right now within our convention is not between people who are conservative and people who are liberal. It's between people who are conservative and people who are conservative. And the issue is people who are conservative and people who are narrowly conservative. And what's being voiced by younger leaders and a few older leaders is there's a restricting that will choke the life out of our convention and will choke the life out of missions and evangelism. We are still the envy of the Christian world when it comes to our missionary on the field and the fact that they don't have to spend all their time trying to raise funds in order to stay. They are well taken care of as they should be. Supplies are given to them as they should be. And currently, they are offered to cooperate with others as they should be. But there are those who want to pull back and say, you can't cooperate with those non-Baptist groups. You can't even cooperate with some Baptist groups, depending on what they believe. And if that begins to happen, there's going to be a drying up of the funds. And our missionaries are going to be on the field slaving without the resources they need to do their job. That's what's at stake. That's why this matters. And it's why it matters that we don't just mouth it and say, oh yeah, I believe that. But we allow our belief to shape and to mold us and to direct us in the decisions we make and how we live out our faith. It's practical and it's very important. Questions or comments on anything that we've talked about tonight or the last couple of weeks?
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.